You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, where we left off last time. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, because when America is blessed, the world is blessed. But when America's in trouble, the world's in trouble. And because I am called by God to be a missionary to America, not only to the church, but to go into the government, in the political system, and root out, tear down, and pull down in the name and the power of Jesus. Amen. So we do that. When we finish all of that, then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads according to his wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, miracles, faith, and I think I brought everything, discernment of spirits, I guess that's it, and faith, okay. And then you're invited to come here every Sunday, excuse me, at 5 p.m., we're live on the air with radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, yes, that's The Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. You are a marathon runner. You are a marathon runner. What is a marathon? A marathon is a long distance foot race. Long distance foot race. If you're truly saved, not pretending, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're really a Christian, the moment you got saved, you started at the starting line. And you've been running ever since. It's a long race. We're allowed to live 120 years, Genesis 6, okay? But there's a prize there. At the end of the finish line is your Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's got a reward for you. In the ancient Olympics, they would reward the one who would finish with an olive crown. They would take an olive branch and form it into a crown and crown you. And it says that we shall receive a crown.
Verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
The word cloud there is a figure of speech. Paul, used by the Holy Spirit to write this, was a great Hebrew scholar, but he spoke colloquial Greek. And they would say like a cloud of locusts or a crowd of blackbirds. It means a crowd, a throng. Now, when you go to a foot race, you got all your cheering section out there. You got loved ones, hey, you can make it, keep on, you know? You're not in this race by yourself, Christian. You're running it. It's a long distance foot race, and there are a lot of hurdles. but you've got a lot of people around you. We just completed Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the Hall of Faith. They're watching you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samson, Deborah, Jephthah, I mean, on and on. And guess who else is there cheering on? Your saved loved ones, 1 Thessalonians 4, and they are cheering you on. And that's not all. In heaven, we are as at the angels, Hebrews chapter 1, cheering you on are angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for heirs of salvation. And Psalm 91, he gives his angels charge of you to keep you in all your ways. Your enemy, the devil, is going to put a lot of hurdles in your path to get you to stop the race, to quit, to stop, or to get sucked up and never get there. But these angels and people cheering you on help you out there. Amen. Stay in the race.
Amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
Now, when you're in a foot race, you don't carry any heavy baggage. In other words, lightweight clothing and nothing there so you can run your best. Before you got saved, you had a lot of heavy baggage, dirty, rotten sins weighing you down, heavy, oh, you're almost to the ground. But when you confessed your sins, repented, stopped, and made Jesus your Lord, he took your heavy baggage of sins and put on you a lightweight robe of righteousness. His burden is easy and his yoke is light.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Patience means endurance. Now, it's going to be a long race. Remember, you can live 120 years and a lot of hurdles. The devil, your enemy, puts some there, and even your father will test you some, but you want to endure. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. We're running this race because we're in a war here, and we're going to overcome. And the hardness makes your muscles strong. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Stay in the course. Finish.
Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus.
Now, what's going to happen? You're going to have all kinds of distractions. The devil's going to make sure of that, and your flesh will want to make sure of that. But you keep your eyes focused on the finish line. There is Jesus. Now, you know Peter was in a boat with the disciples, and a storm came up, and Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, "Well, let me walk on the water." Jesus said, "Come, you can walk on the water." I love people who get out of the boat. I find boat people very boring. I love people who get out of the boat and get a try. And he was doing really good, but he got distracted. He heard a little bit of noise of thunder. He heard the wind blowing, the lightning flashing, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. Now, as you run the race, this Christian race, every Christian in the world, every one of you, the devil has already tried to distract you. Now listen carefully. The devil doesn't come to you and say, "Hey, get out of the race and let's go murder somebody. Let's go steal a rob a bank. Let's go lie. Let's go fornicate. Let's go steal." No, 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 no. He's going to make it look so good, so holy. The devil hates church. That's why he sends demons to a Holy Spirit word-teaching church. He's trying to disrupt it because Jesus is the head and we are the body. So what he does, he tries to get you not to go to church. But he's not going to say, "Don't go to church," because you say, "Devil, that's you. I'm not going to go to church." He says, "Listen, I know you go to church faithfully there. And you've even got something you do there, a little work you do. But, you know, your friends having a party there. And, I mean, Jesus wants you to love your friend. And you love your friend. It's a good thing." You say, "Sure, I'll go. I love my friend." So you miss church. Did you know that was the devil? When you don't go to church, you have broken a date with a lover of your soul. Going to church is a date with God. The first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You have broken a date with the Lord God Almighty Jesus, because he's the head of the church and he's them. And you stood him up for less a date. You say, I didn't know that. I know you didn't know it, but now you do. Now he's going to do it again. He'll wait a while because you're back in church. And see, you said, oh, that's okay. I got back in church. He's going to do it again. Another little gathering there, another little party. Maybe going to be a celebration here. Or maybe you might want to work an extra hour so you can make some extra money. And you do it again. Please understand, I have reached thousands of people. I have watched this over the years. I've seen this happen more than Kellogg's got cornflakes. It's an absolute, see, you think you're doing something good. I just missed this time. And all of a sudden, your heart gets hard. So the next time he says, don't go, he says he's not going to tell you to do something bad at first. It'll be easy for you. It's already easy for some of you not to come on Wednesday night. He's already told you you don't need to go, and you think you're doing a good thing not to go. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Distraction. Distraction. Keep your eyes on the prize. That very thing can harden you so that you never get to the finish. You could just keep going off until you never get back. That happens to a lot of people.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Jesus is the one who started this race, and he's the one who can finish it. This is a race of faith. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every step you take on this race, every little jog you run, should be by faith. You're supposed to operate your body by faith. I do. Not by what the doctor says or the world says. You're supposed to operate your relationships by faith, not what popularity says. You're supposed to operate your money by faith. Everything in your life is by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. All the while, no matter what happens on this race, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. We run by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Now, Jesus went to that cross to pay our sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But the cross was brutal. He had to stay up there 6 hours suffering for you and suffering for me, taking all the filthy sins of everybody, every human being on himself, six, the number of depraved mankind, everybody. That was not fun. Why does it say for the joy set before him? Because while he was in that race on the cross for your eternal salvation, joy came to him. He thought of you. He knew your name. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He thought of you. And that because of what he's doing, as hard as it was, that someday you would be saved and you could live with him forever. While you're on this foot race and things get so hard and you say, this cross is too much for me to bear, look, think of him. Think of the one waiting there to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Despising the shame.
They stripped Jesus naked. That's very shameful. Now, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment, as a Christian, that's different from the white throne judgment. That's for lost people. the works you do for God are going to be put in a fire machine. And if they're good, be a gold and silver. If not, wood, hay, stubble. You'll be saved, but so is by fire. But you'll be naked. Revelation 19 says, the righteousness of saints, the righteous acts after salvation. I don't mean just doing good by rote. I mean heartfelt, in preaching the kingdom, winning souls, praying in the spirit, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, making a difference. Weaves your fine linen garment for all eternity. They stripped him naked so you could have a beautiful robe of righteousness for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Right now he's in heaven. There's the Father and there's the Son sitting there. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, there are a lot of hurdles there, and you're going to have to jump over them. The Bible says, overcome, overcome, overcome. And Revelation says, Jesus says, to those who overcome, I will grant that they may sit with me in my throne. Wow.
Amen.
He's the bridegroom, and you're the bride, the husband, the wife. If you overcome and don't fall down flat and have to crawl in, overcome triumphant, church. You get to sit with him in his throne. Look at that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradictions of sin against himself.
Contradiction means two opposing thoughts. Jesus is God. Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has never sinned. He is a pure, spotless lamb. Think of the contrast. A holy God going to a cruel, rugged cross, taking everybody's dirty, rotten, miserable sins on himself. What a contrast. He was holy and took on our sins. Now, before you got saved, you had dirty, rotten sins. Maybe you were lazy. Maybe you were self-centered. Maybe you fornicated. Maybe you were an alcoholic. Maybe you were a liar. Maybe you were a mercenary. You loved money. Maybe you were a drug alcoholic. But once you got saved, guess what? It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, you are a new creation.
Hallelujah.
All things are passed away. You're brand new. Okay. But some of you running the race, you got saved. Your spirit is saved. Those sins are forgiven. They don't exist anymore. But you have not yet renewed your mind. So you say, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a fornicator. I'm a liar. I lust for money. I'm greedy. I'm lukewarm. I think about myself all the time. I'm greedy. Why are you saying that? It says that the old man is dead.
Amen.
What you're trying to do in this race is get that old man, he's dead. You're carrying an old dead man there. You're not the little boy anymore. You're a new man.
Amen.
You're taking the dead man. That's dead weight with you.
Yes.
Now, does that not mean that you might not mess up? You might slip up and have a drink. If you're really saved, you'll confess, repent. Repent means to quit.
Amen.
And be forgiven. You might slip up and have a little bit of crack there with your pipe. If you're really saved, you'll confess, repent, and quit. You might fornicate, you might lie, you might be self-centered again, you might be greedy, whatever you might say. What this means is, if you're really saved, you do not practice sin. You might make a mistake and do it, but you're not practicing. That old man does not exist anymore. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. You're brand new. Now run the race. That's not you anymore. You're a new creation. Go forth now.
Amen.
Amen.
Lest ye be weary and faint in your minds.
Now races are hard. I mean, the body will get tired. And even serving the Lord, you get tired. We're in a flesh body, and you get tired. Now, in a marathon, they have 16 water stops, water stations, so they can hydrate. And they've got them placed about every 2 miles so the runner can get some fresh water there. Now, as a human being, God's given you 24 hours a day. We're supposed to sleep 8 hours. I never do make it. But let's just pretend we all sleep 8 hours. We've got 16 hours left. In the race, you got 16 water stations to get refreshed because the race is hard, it's hot, it's weary, you get tired. So you want to stop at the water station and you want to have a great big bite of the bread of life, the Word of God, the Bible. The Word is life to those that find them and health to all those flesh. But when you stop and get the Word, you don't leave it at the water station. You take it with you. And the Word, you digest it. And the Word is working in you. And the Word guides you. And the Word strengthens you. And the Word tells you what to do. Okay? Another little water station, 2 more miles. Prayer. Take some prayer here. Communion with the Father in Jesus' name. But prayer is not you giving your old grumble list. Prayer is listening to Him. You commune with Him. He communes with you. You're back in the race. Take the prayer with you. Because you can pray on the job. God can read your mind. You can pray in school. We're told to pray without ceasing. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Keep that attitude of prayer in the race. 2 more miles, another water stop. Whoa! Let's get refreshed here. The Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You shall receive power as the Holy Spirit's come upon you. The baptism gives you power. So you fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. But you don't leave the Holy Spirit at the station. You carry it with you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And now you have fresh oil, fresh anointing. You run, you're not weary. You run, you walk, you do not faint. There's the power. You have power now.
Amen.
2 more miles, another little water station. Oh, goody. Go to church. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a man of some is. We're commanded to go to church. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. So you go to church. Somebody appointed there, anointed with the Word of God, loves you. They give you the Word. They are praying for you, and you're refreshed. And if you're not feeling well, somebody pray for you to get well. But there are other people there. Look, they kind of got out of the race. They got so weary. And you say, come on. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Get back in the race. Yeah. You can do it. So your brothers and sisters in the church, you bring them with you. Now you've got some running mates. Yeah. And you're running them on. Look at that. Look at that. Well, another little water station here. You stop again. Wait just a minute. This person at this station is not even saved. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Now remember, you're trying to be refreshed. So, because you got the Word, you got prayer, you got the Spirit, you got encouragement from other Christians, you say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I had no hope, but now I'm on higher ground. And you pray with them and win them to Jesus. And there's something about winning a soul that just makes you just want to run and shout and dash. You're not tired anymore. But guess what? Now you bring them into the race. Look at that. You're not tired anymore. Be not weary in well-doing. You shall reap if you faint not.
Praise the
Verse 4. We have not yet resisted unto blood.
They beat Jesus with 39 stripes. That's a lot of blood. They put a crown of thorn on his brain. Blood. Pulled out his beard. Blood. Pierced his hands. Blood. Pierced his feet. Blood. Put a sword in his side. Blood. The apostle Peter was crucified upside down. Blood. One of the disciples was filleted like a fish. Blood. Many of those heroes, he was 11, were killed and martyred. And who can forget ISIS, the Taliban, taking those Christians who would not reject Jesus, orange jumpsuits, blindfolded, kneeling, hands behind their back. Will you accept Allah? No. Will you reject Jesus? No. And the world was horrified as they cut off their heads. This same Paul was beaten with 39 stripes 5 times, blood. He was stoned and left for dead, blood. And history says he was beheaded, blood. So while you're in this race, there are Christians all over this world being crucified and killed right now. The news won't tell us that. But you have not yet shed blood. But Jesus shed blood for you. Let's stop the grumbling. Let's run this race to the finish line.
Amen.
Striving against sin. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Now, these marathon runners have a coach. I did a little research. They coach them for about 4 months. It's rigorous, rigorous coaching. But a coach helps you win. My twin friend Scott Merson here played football at Florida State, and he had one of the best coaches there ever was, Bobby Bowden. But I mean, he helps you win, did he not?
Amen.
Absolutely. Navy SEALs, I heard them say one time they push a helicopter and drop you out in the middle of the ocean, sink or swim. Now, you've got a coach. The Holy Spirit is going to make sure your muscles are strong enough to last. He's going to make sure that you go to a church where the man or woman teaches book, chapter, verse, and line with an order of Holy Spirit and loves you. But he's going to make sure that you go to a church where after a while, the shepherd says, you've been watching the show too long. It's time for you to be the show. It's time for you to recognize when the demons come in and cast them out.
Amen.
It's time for you to have the baptism and pray in the language so the devil can't get people. It's time for you to heal the sick, raise the dead,
Amen.
And cast
Hallelujah.
Out devils.
Hallelujah.
It's time for you to win souls to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, why the coaches and the pastor and the Holy Spirit make you uncomfortable? If you go to church and are always comfortable, you're going to be comfortable sometime, but sometime you need to go out and say, boy, I better straighten up here. Why? Why is that?
Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Because God loves you, the coach loves you, and the pastor loves you. See, we love you too much. You started this race a baby. You were crawling. But you know, you've been under truth, the anointing. You got the best of the best. Are you still crawling? You're never going to make it. We love you too much. Baby, you're not going to get there. He's going to come and he's going to be gone before you get there. Little baby, you've got to grow. You've got to get up and be a man now. You've got to be a woman now. You've got to be a triumphant Christian in now. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Do some good.
Praise God.
Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
It's tough love. The hardest love I've ever had to do. It's tough love. I stay awake all night long, but I have to do it. If I don't, You'll just crawl in. You'll never get them. All parents know that. It's tough love, but it's the best love.
Amen. Verse 7. If you endure chastenings, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?
Any good parent's going to discipline their child. If you don't, you don't love them. They're going to stick their little hand in the hot stove. They're going to run over a ditch there. You do it because you love them. And so does God. In other words, he sees the things ahead of you. He knows what's coming, and he's trying to get you ready. He wants you to speak in the language so when you deliver up the Antichrist that you won't commit the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in that language, you'll lose your salvation. God sees that, just like a parent.
Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons.
Now, everybody thinks a bastard is an illegitimate child. That's not what this is talking about. By the way, we're all over the world. If somebody called you an illegitimate child, dear precious brother or sister, you're not illegitimate. God loves you, and he's your real father. But that's not what this means. This is from Greek, which came from Hebrew. The Hebrew word is mamzar. Mamzar. A mamzar is a child born of two different races. Say, a black parent, a white parent, or an Asian parent, and a red parent, whatever. And God says, do not mix the races. Now, God loves all the races. Genesis 1:26, mankind in general, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, perfect. They're so pure, you want to stay that way. But it's even more than that spiritually. As you're running this race, you got your Christians there. They're huffing and puffing and jumping over. You're huffing and puffing and jumping over. But you got this person running beside you. They're just going along there, just going along there. What? Are you really saved? That person might be a mamzar. There are people who go to church who are not even saved. They're nice, they're sweet, they hold their Bible. They might even do something. There's no power, there's no passion, there's no fruit. Not everybody who goes to church is saved. And if that person running the race with you, going to church with you, wait a minute. Are you a bastard? Are you a mamzar? How can you know? John 15, ye shall know them by their fruits. Amen. They would have the baptism of Holy Spirit. They would, after a while, bring somebody to Jesus. They would begin to pray with fervor. They would lay hands on the sick. They would heal the sick, raise the dead. They would bear fruit. You would see their life as different, sanctification. They would not be like the world. They would shine. They would glisten. They would just you would almost hear them rattling there with the power of God on them. Amen. You shall know them by their fruits. Amen. Not everybody calling themselves Christian is saved. Are you saved?
Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence.
When I was a very tiny little tot, probably about 3 years old, I was out playing in our backyard, and all of a sudden my daddy came around the corner, and he had some horses, and those horses were galloping fast and furious. And I asked daddy, I said, daddy, 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 I'm running to it, daddy, 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 get away, go, 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 go. I thought daddy was mad at me. My sensitive little heart ran away. I fell down in the dirt and I cried and cried. Daddy doesn't love me. He just fussed at me. But no, my daddy, Corey Hare, who is in heaven, loved me. He didn't want the horses to kill me.
Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?
God is a spirit, and you are a spirit, and you worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, one more thing as you run this race. Subjection means obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience brings blessings. Now, many Christians say, well, I'll do this part of the Bible, but I'm not going to do that. And you think you're okay because you pick and choose. I will do this, but I won't do that. Nope. When you disobey even just one thing there that you know to do, to him that knoweth to do it good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, is sin. And it says that disobedience is the same sin as rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. Witches worship the devil. So, as you run the race, you know it told you to do that, but you said, not that one, but I do this. I'm pretty good. No, no, no. Any disobedience is saying, I will not obey you, God. And by default, you automatically are obeying the devil. Wow. Obedience brings blessings.
Amen.
Obey, obey, obey. You are a marathon runner. I pray you finish the race. I pray you do. David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. I'm about to introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, twin friend. So, how are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry.
What is Scott's stuff?
Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4.
Absolutely. Amen. Perfect. Amen. That's good. Great, Scott. Thank you, Scott. We do not collude. It's always exciting to me to see what he's going to do. The Holy Spirit always gets it right. Before I pray for healing, let's pray for you to be saved all over the world. I love all of you out there. God bless you. I just feel your spirit. I just want to take you and hug you, everyone all over the world. I love you. And I thank you for your emails. And yes, Pakistan, Quran, your wife, the 69 children, I'm praying for you and the pastor and your flock and your church, the evangelists there, and every country. I don't have time to say them all. But I love you. Anybody out there not say, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. We can't call him Father yet, so we're going to say, Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I stop them right now.
I stop them right now.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash all my sins away with your precious blood.
Wash all my sins away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. Actually, you need to tell about 3 or 4 people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. Call that number. That's my voicemail. And leave your confession on there. And when I get it, I will pray for you and welcome to the family of God. For all new Christians, read your Bible every day. All Christians read their Bible every day. That's God's love letter to you. Start with the Gospel of John. And every day, find a little private place of praise with the Father in Jesus' name. And find a good Bible teaching, Holy Spirit-filled church. And go to church every Sunday and the midweek service. And you will grow. You also may email me not only your confession of salvation, you may email me your good reports, your prayer requests, any kind of thing you want to tell me there, except no grumbling, okay? My email is sherrymedlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. That's SHARI Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, I'm feeling quite a few places that need to be healing. First of all, I'm feeling that there are people with some kind of pressure in your head. You feel like you're a balloon and it's blown up and it's going to burst. So in the name of Jesus, let the pressure relax. Let the pressure go down in your head. That there be peace in the name and the power of Jesus. Somebody else, you've got problems, periodontal problems with your gums, gingivitis, different things like that. In the name of Jesus, let the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The Lord Jesus Christ brings laser beams going into your drums, into your gums, and doing a root canal by the hand of Jesus Christ. And all of that coming out, reparation and restoration, cells and gums be healed, teeth be like a flock of white sheep, fresh from the washing, every man's twin, none is barren among them, in the name and the power of Jesus. And some of you got deep muscle pains, whether you've been picking up something heavy or moving around, deep muscle pains, it's kind of like in your shoulder, the back of your shoulder, your arms, it's just all over the muscle pains. In the name of Jesus, let there be relief, let there be peace. And then those you have joint pain from the brain stem all the way down the spine, all the way to your shoulder blades, a shoulder blade there, shoulder blades hurting really bad, and all of those bones and areas there be healed, all of the arms and even of the fingertips. In the name of Jesus, Jesus bore your pain. He takes sickness from the midst of you. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He restores health to you. Pick up your bed and walk. You run, you're not weary. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And all over the world, we say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Give your life to him. Surrender it all. He's the first. He's the fire, he's the friend, and you'll be so happy when you get to the finish line and get in that crown. He loves you. I love you too with all my heart. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
calling Christians
the
to
trumpet
worship and the study of
truth.
God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
To the Lord of the earth. joyful noise to the Lord on the air. Battles of the field, cries of the hay, the trees of the forest are singing, and all of the mountains with one voice are joining. To the light of the air, make a joyful noise to the light of the air, make a joyful noise to the light of the air, make a joy. Of the forest I sing, and all of the mountains.
so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good, is good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. I'm putting my fears aside. I'm leaving my doubts. Today's
sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.